Welcome to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie. Our podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Zogenix and Ultragenix. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and our goal is to be informative and entertaining. And today's episode is wonderfully entertaining. I am speaking with Mito warrior April. I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say this young woman is inspirational. Her story of how you can turn your passion into your vocation and that allows you to thrive is just amazing. And I can't wait to share it with you. Hi, April. Thank you for being on the Energy in Action podcast with us today. I am excited to speak with you and learn more about you and your Mito journey and how that's woven into working with pets, cats and dogs. I am a dog nut. I would have all the dogs if I could. I've tried to have cats, but cats and I don't get along, probably because I'm afraid of things that sit on my shoulder. But either way, I'm excited to learn more about you and how you got into the holistic pet world. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and let everybody know where you're from and about your Mito journey.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name's April, and I am currently in beautiful sunny Florida, but not so sunny today. And I am a 38-year-old now mitochondrial patient. The journey started back in 2013. No, sorry, my diagnosis was in 2013. My journey of health symptoms, acute symptoms, began in 2008. And it took 5 years to get an accurate diagnosis. Lots, you know, the typical Mito journey, diagnostic journey, lots of specialists, lots of doctors. I saw a little over 50 doctors, I think it was.
In that 5 years?
By the time I finally got diagnosed, yeah.
What were some of your symptoms that you were experiencing in 2008 that put you on the odyssey to diagnosis?
My beginning symptoms were vertigo and mostly neuropathy. I was starting to have a little bit of muscle weakness, like in my feet. I would just notice like my toes just didn't seem very strong, which just sounds weird, but
no.
I would just notice little things like that, and like my hands would be getting fatigued pretty easily. At the time, I was actually still in college to become a dental hygienist. And so the muscle fatigue in my hands was becoming pretty obvious as I was trying to hold my instruments and work on my patients and whatnot.
Yeah.
A lot of neuropathy, a lot of like shooting, burning, stabbing pain, just weird nerve pains, like all over my body. It would be, you know, not located in one area, just peripheral all over legs, arms, head, face.
Was that neuropathy pain? Was that consistent, or did that flare up and come and go, or?
It did come and go, thankfully. It was usually kind of quick with the pain, sort of like little electric kind of feelings. The only thing that would really stay would be like muscle aching. There was a lot of, especially in my legs back at that time, that was a big key thing. And I remember just one of the first things I can remember was walking with my mom on the beach. And, you know, here's my mom 20 plus years older than me, and she's strutting right along, and I am just in so much pain. I'm like, Mom, do you have any ibuprofen? I don't know. Like, I just don't even feel like I can walk. My legs feel really heavy. There was this heaviness to my muscles, to like sort of like concrete kind of feeling in my arms and legs sometimes when I would be really more tired or whatnot.
Right.
So that became kind of a constant, and that was sort of the beginning.
That was the beginning. Wow. So since, so through that 5 years, you said you saw around 50 doctors, which is typical, but still mind numbing to me. Do you find now in Florida that you have a really good partner and a good medical team, and that you're well cared for, or where do you have struggles with that, or how does that look today?
I am now. It's still been a struggle. I ended up relocating to where I am now in Jacksonville, Florida, for a mitochondrial specialist, in fact. And he was wonderful and did really great for me for several years, but recently he's moved to a different practice and he's no longer seeing adult patients. So that is one of the hugest struggles for any adult mitochondrial patient. Not only do I find it's a lot harder to get the correct diagnosis, because when you're a little bit older, even though when I began these symptoms, I was only 25. So, you know, still very young to be having any of those sort of symptoms, but it just seems more challenging to get the diagnosis. And then it's more challenging to find a good care team because a lot of them are pediatric specialists.
Right.
But recently we found another specialist who we're seeing, and he's been very good. The only downside for us is that he does not accept insurance, so we have to do the whole see him and then bill our insurance and, you know, hope for the best kind of thing. So
yes,
so he's great, but overall it's not great, I guess, is my answer. I think everywhere in the country needs to step up for care for mitochondrial patients, and especially Florida could do a better job. There's only like three or four specialists in the whole state. And then two of the big ones I know do not accept insurance. So it makes it, you know, very, very challenging or completely unrealistic for some people.
Wow, I would guess that is frustrating. What type of, do they have a concrete diagnosis, like a name for the form of mito that you have?
I don't yet, unfortunately. We are currently in my third round of DNA testing, however.
Woo-hoo.
I did set one in 2013 and they just did a partial exome. Didn't discover anything then. Nothing of value anyway. It was something like I was a carrier for cystic fibrosis and different things, but nothing mito related. And then they did another full DNA testing 3 years ago and still didn't hit on the marker. And so we're in it again, and I'm getting the results early March. So we're over here just like pins and needles, you know, really anxious to hear the results. And at this point, it's really imperative that we can find the genetic markers for what exact type of mitochondrial disease this is, because things are progressing pretty quickly for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be eligible. Nope, no one will be eligible for clinical trials of any of the coming down the chute mitochondrial therapies, which are so exciting to see, but you're not going to be, any patient isn't going to be eligible without that diagnosis. So.
Right. We are going from a huge population who was clinically diagnosed, and that includes the famous muscle biopsy.
Yes.
To now having to go back into the genetic world and find, like you said, the exact markers. I do know that from 2018 to today, those panels have increased tremendously. I've worked with GeneDx on a few patients who have rerun panels from 2013 to this year. So that's 8 years, and the discoveries were amazing. So fingers crossed, and hopefully you'll let us know what they come up with.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what the geneticist said. He said every 6 months they're discovering new variants and getting more new info. So
wow, every 6 months. Wow, that's encouraging.
It's part of one of my tools to try to stay motivated and positive in this journey right now is I try to think of any reason for going through these hardships, you know? And so that's one thing I think is, hey, at least my DNA is being a part of helping science in some way to help future little mito April is what I say, you know, born now, the mitochondrial children now are going to be able to have better lives and better treatments.
Right. Faster access to the appropriate care is what we say with our son. Same thing, you know, looking at where we were from 2005 to today, you know, things are just getting better and better for the kids behind them that are getting diagnosed so much faster, which is wonderful. So what are some things that you find helpful for treating your your form of mitochondrial disease right now? Do you use mobility devices? Are you taking the cocktail? What works for you?
Definitely the cocktail. I know the listeners won't be able to see, but I'll show you my med pack here.
It's
full. And one day is about 8 different sections of stuff, I guess.
I was just going to ask, does that say Wednesday? Like, that's all Wednesday?
Yeah, that's one day. Like, I literally ended up going to a sports store, and this is like a mini, like, tackle box organizer, because they didn't sell any pill organizers that had enough days, like, enough section in each day for me.
Well, that's so good thinking, though. I'm going to put that into my box of thoughts,
yeah,
to
really
go get a little tackle organizer.
Got little sections, you can, little tabs, you can separate the sections and whatnot.
Okay.
So basically, the typical mito cocktail, my geneticist recently just added NAD, which is kind of a newer supplement for mito patients. Mm-hmm. And it's been helpful. I can say definitely I notice an improvement in energy. Maybe 10% or so, which is still amazing for me. I'll take any percent.
Right.
And all the standards, you know, the carnitine, acetyl L-carnitine, ubiquinol, B vitamins, and zinc and potassium, all the electrolyte stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly just, you know, really staying to a routine and a schedule is what I find is best.
Yes.
I kind of feel like, and it's interesting because before I had acute symptoms, I was really an anomaly. I don't know how, thinking back, I was so proficient at athletics, but I was. I was like varsity soccer player. I did dance and gymnastics. I did track and field and all of this stuff when I was younger in grade school and high school. And then even when I graduated high school, I wanted to become a fitness competitor.
Wow.
So in that journey, and I started doing, I was going to boot camps and everything. I was like 112 pounds and ripped with muscle. It was crazy. Knowing now that I've had this disease the whole time, but I wasn't feeling well. But anyway, what I learned when I was doing that is a lot of what I still practice now is meal prepping. Just being prepared, planning ahead my meals, eating super, super clean. I just eat reasonable amounts of protein, tons of vegetables and plant stuff, low sugar. And I stagger my meals, several small meals throughout the day to keep my metabolism going as best as possible and prevent those kind of spikes and dips.
Yeah,
so
the roller coasters.
And when I eat, every meal I eat, there's a set of supplements that goes with that to help me better absorb the energy from the food. And, you know, I just try to practice healthy living, get plenty of rest, go to bed at the same time, get outside in some sunshine. And I take a lot of natural supportive stuff for immune system, because for me, especially, that's my other huge challenge, is my immune system is very non-functional. So I'm frequently getting viral infections and different infections that I deal with. So
how do you treat those then alongside of everything else?
I am on a daily antiviral now to help as the strength of the viruses kind of increased. We felt the risk of that medication was worth it. I guess it's one of the ones that mitochondrial patients should be very careful with. So unless mm-hmm. it's really needed. But I do that. And then I just take basic stuff like increasing my vitamin D levels, make sure those are optimum. I take vitamin C every day in pretty large amounts, like 4 to 8 grams every day.
Grams?
yes, grams, which it's multiple times what most people take. But that's another thing I've learned is if your immune system is really weak, a lot of times you really need a lot more of some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, an additional zinc every day, those things.
So given this, how have you been with the COVID virus? Have you been able to stay away from that? Has it affected you? Do you know?
Interestingly, I was really, really sick beginning of March, right before we all were kind of made aware of it. Mm-hmm. And so I still think that I had COVID then, but I don't know because I wasn't tested for it then.
Right.
And ever since then, I've gotten another bad virus and they tested me and I was negative. It wasn't COVID. And so far we tested my antibodies as well though. And I didn't have any antibodies, although I heard that test isn't always accurate either. So
right.
I don't really know, but so far, you know, I'm okay. I seem to have either gotten it and got through it or stayed away from it. Thank goodness. So.
Wow. Good for you. Here in Minnesota, we hear a lot about other states, and Florida just sounds like a huge gamble to be rambling around outside right now. So
yeah, I don't really expose myself much. So
all right. So you said that you were in school to be a dental hygienist, and now you own an online holistic pet company. Let's talk about that, because like I said, I love dogs and dogs. So let's talk about this. This sounds so great. And this is called Renewed Pet.
Renewed Pet is our website. Yep.
Renewedpet.com. So how did this come to be? And tell me about like how you help people and their pets and more about that.
So when I was still working as a dental hygienist, I had also, as I was in college, I had begun one of my other lifelong dreams, which was raising, breeding, and showing exotic hairless show cats.
Okay.
And so it's called a cattery in the cat world versus a kennel in the dog world. So I had a in-home cattery and my mom lived next door and her and I did this. We bred and showed and raised the kitties. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was something, like I said, a dream of mine, something I'd always wanted to do. And when my health started really taking a bad turn, I had to quit dental hygiene and I had to apply for disability. And that was around 2012. And for that time period though, I was still well enough to partake in some of the activities with the cattery and do that with my mom on a small scale still. So I just was doing that and I just really dove into my love for education and learning and my passion of health and nutrition and everything. And I just started learning everything I possibly could get my hands on about these cats and how to raise them better and do everything to the best of my ability. And so I started to obtain all this knowledge and I had learned about making homemade raw food diets and I had learned about making utilizing different natural supplements, like a lot of stuff Mito patients used to help us optimize energy and help our metabolism. Well, the ironic thing is I come to understand now that hairless pets basically have metabolic diseases as well, because they don't have their clothes on all day to help them stay warm. So they're expelling more energy all day long just to live, just like a mitochondrial disease patient. So the two things just kind of came together and collided. And I became very expert in these cats in particular. And so I started making online videos for people and I started just showing different things like how, you know, what's the best litter for your cat and what's the best foods and how to bathe your cats and all of this. And so I did that for several years, just kept putting info out there and making videos. And then people started coming to me and they started just coming to me to ask for help and different questions and problems and health issues with their pets. And somewhere in that time span, I got really frustrated with the fact that there was no products on the market for hairless pets. There's everything under the sun for every other pet with fur, but there was nothing specific for hairless pets. And their grooming requirements and needs are obviously different because they don't have fur. They just have skin.
Right.
So I came to my mom one day and I was like, Mom, I want to create a product line specific for hairless pets. And at first we called it Nudie Naturals. In fact, that was the first name, Nudie Naturals.
I love that.
And we did it in 2015. I just literally in my kitchen, you know, on my better days was just sitting there, like putting formulas together through everything I had learned. And we created that business and the product line. And since that time, I've gone back to school, just online classes and anything that I could get my hands on to do for certificates. And I'm now a certified pet nutritionist and a certified master pet herbalist. And so Now I actually offer professional one-on-one consultations for people, because it got to the point one morning, I remember, I went and started working on my Facebook inbox and I spent 3 hours just answering people's questions. And I was like, what am I gonna do? You know, like I wanna help these people, but I can't, I don't have the energy and time for this, you know?
Right.
So that's when the consultation part of this business was born, and I dubbed myself Pet Coach April. And so that's what I do now.
Wow. So, it's wonderful. You know, it makes sense now, because I was reading on your website and somebody left a comment about Nudie Naturals. And I was like, sure where that's coming from. But, and then
we decided to do a brand change 2 years ago, because we've developed lots of products that are beneficial for pets with fur as well. And we just wanted to be more inclusive. So Renewed Pet is the business name. And I'm very fortunate. I have the help of my family. They really do the business side of things, the tax stuff, the customer service stuff, all this stuff, so that I can do what I'm able to do with my illness, which is variable. Some days I'm more functional than others. So what makes sense for me is to do a lot of the social media stuff. Like I do just basically all the creative content and putting out pet tips every day and weekly blogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I have thoroughly enjoyed those. Question, when you were coming up with some of the foods, who was your focus group? Like, how did you just line up like four little bowls of chow and put the kitties in front of it? Or how did you get them to try it and like it? Or how did you know if they would like it?
Well, with the food, one of my primary focuses is teaching others how to make a balanced homemade diet, either cooked or raw. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a process with cats. Dogs, I find you can serve them about anything for dinner and they're going to eat it.
Absolutely. Yes.
But the cats, you know, it's a process. They're a bit finicky. So I find we have to do what I call is a slow food switch. So we take about 14 days and slowly feed them a little bit of the new food each day and take away a little bit of the old food until they're not boycotting the food anymore.
Boycotting. And cats, my cat and I would have complete standoffs all the time. I mean, it was a showdown many times when I would try to switch food or slip in a medication or whatever was needed. Sylvester and I had definite standoffs between each other. So
yeah, that's pretty typical for cats.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen this, but cats can give out a pretty nasty look. I mean, you know when a cat is not pleased. So
oh, yeah.
So
we call it resting cat face.
That's actually very clever. I like that. So what's next now for Renewed Pets? Are you moving into, it looks like you really work with primarily cats and dogs, but I do see some people here that have even come to you about other animals as well, and you're able to give them some advice on nutrition or supplements. What's the biggest thing that you find that pet owners are doing incorrectly or that they could be doing better to improve their dog's or cat's quality of life?
Well, I think that was kind of a twofold question.
Yeah,
so our goal with Renewed Pet right now is just to continue to finish producing the final products we want. There's a couple more products we want to put out, like a nose and paw balm for like dry chapped skin. We have a lot of people asking for that. And yes. I've created a really great toothpaste, but I also want to create a really good all natural anti-gingivitis, you know, like gum ointment, something that's easier to just apply right directly to the gums, especially for our cat parents, because they're really challenging to brush their teeth. So currently on the market, there's only some products like that that are, you know, they're conventional. So they have basically antibiotics in them. Mm. And so I find that problematic. Yes, it's going to help with gingivitis because it's got antibiotics to apply to the gum line. However, for pets, they're swallowing everything we put in their mouth. And so from a holistic standpoint, it's not very healthy to be putting these antibiotics in their mouth and then having them swallow them. And it's constantly disrupting their natural flora in their intestines. So we're going to be putting out a natural line of something that's really powerful for gum and mouth health. That's a little bit easier to just apply.
Well, I
so am. Those are our big goals right now. And we're working towards getting into an actual production facility. We've moved up. We already have a huge storage space that we have a team that makes the products and ships them out, which is amazing. But we're going to be getting into an actual FDA certified building facility and everything, hopefully by 2022. So we're super excited. Some good things coming. But then when you ask what is the biggest mistake you said that pet parents make?
Yeah, or things that we could do better for our pets. Like I have a little Shih Tzu mix, and so he has the dreaded underbite. And when you're talking about teeth, obviously he gets discoloration on his teeth because of oxidation. And he's not a big fan of oral dental care, let's just say. So when you were talking about that, I was like, oh yes, that sounds like something we would try.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing right there. You know, brushing your pet's teeth. I would bet only about 1% of people actually brush their pet's teeth 3 times a week like you're supposed to. So we all could try to step up in that area, but it's challenging because our pets don't like it. But really, I think the biggest thing that's the most simple is just feeding them the proper diet. Really, a species appropriate diet is now what pet nutritionists like myself kind of call it. So it doesn't have to be a specific food or a specific brand, but there are only a few brands out there that are really actually making these optimum species appropriate diets. And it's just really as simple as knowing which one. So that's a huge part of what I do, is I just consult with people and I help them make better food choices for their pets, because a dog like yours, dental issues, and he's not able to brush his teeth. Well, for him, if we could feed him a raw food diet with bone in it, when they have to chew on the raw bone, it's never safe for them to eat cooked bones, but if they chew on the raw bones, that safe little bits of raw bone, that actually cleanses their teeth and their gums naturally while they're eating.
Oh, wow. So,
really amazing diet when it's done right and properly balanced. I'm a huge advocate of, no, it can't just be raw chicken on a plate, which is what some people make mistake of doing. But, you know, if it's from a company that is certified that makes the raw pet food, or if you've worked with a professional like myself and learned how to do it, it's really an optimum diet. So, you know, just making, I really work with people and I just help them make those little tweaks, basically like the three things that all of us need to do to be healthy: eat right, exercise, and have good emotional health. So I just really focus on those things. It can be as simple as making sure you play with your pets twice a day. Make sure that those dogs actually get a walk around the neighborhood so they get stimuli to smell different scents in the neighborhood and smell other dogs. And, you know, that's what a dog needs to be healthy emotionally. and get exercise and eat a good diet. And so it's really kind of simple stuff, but when you just don't know exactly what to do or how to fit it into your life,
right,
then, you know, it can be a challenge.
So what's the equivalent of that for a cat then? Like obviously an optimal nutrition, playing with a cat if they're willing to play. And then you don't take them, do you take a cat for a walk? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, interestingly, that's actually something that I've been really trying to promote a lot lately, is our cats want to get outside, you know? We know most people now in today's world, thankfully, are not letting their cats outside because there's just too many dangers. We live in too much of urban areas and, you know, too much traffic and whatnot. But it's not natural for a cat to just live inside the house all the time, just like for us and our dogs, they want to get outside. So I actually do advise to people, take your cat on little walks safely. Use a pet stroller, especially one that zips in and they're covered in mesh so they can't just jump out if they get scared, because that's a possibility. There's also these really cool things now called a cat backpack. And if you get your cat used to it, don't just like shove them in there one time and be like, we're going on a 30-minute walk. That would be torture for them. But, you know, cats, again, it's all very small changes. So you get them used to going in the backpack or in the stroller inside your house. And you do that for like 2 weeks, just for like a few minutes, and give them lots of treats. And then you do like a 2-minute walk, and then you do a 5-minute walk, and then you do a 10-minute walk, and you just slowly increase the time. I also find a lot of cats can really come to enjoy a short car ride if you get them used to it very slowly again. So with my cat, I frequently just take him and I sit him in my van with me, and we just sit there and we like play on social media. And sometimes I'll take him for a few minute drive, and other times we just kind of hang out in the driveway. And at least, even if a cat doesn't enjoy that, it helps keep them used to the car, because they're going to need eventually to go on a trip to the vet. So it helps with that overstimulation during that time. And doing things like that really builds your cat's confidence. Even if your cat seems a little bit unhappy with the walk, it's amazing the difference when you get the cat back inside and how they'll suddenly start running around your house and playing for like 20 minutes. Because going outside and themselves seeing that they just conquered that scary place of the outdoors, and they come back inside and they're like, oh yeah, this is my palace. I'm just king to this. And they just, you know, really feel full of themselves. So yeah, those things can be utilized, and play sessions are really necessary. Even if the cat is I call it a challenged player, because I think, you know, dearly that every cat wants to play. There's just different reasons why the cat may not actively be taking to it. So if we help utilize the right tools, the right toys, give them the right environment, sometimes we have to just take the cat into a room by themselves and us, because other cats, children, or dogs might be intimidating them too much to play. So a lot of people, they might just be sitting in their living room and try to play with the cat with a toy, and like, oh, my cat doesn't want to play. Well, meanwhile, the cat might be thinking, well, I'm not playing because that crazy dog's going to be jumping up here any second.
Right.
You know? So we just figure out the ways that they want to play, and doing that a couple times a day is really crucial for their health as well.
That is good advice. And you know what, just like what you were saying, it's all goes back to how people with mitochondrial disease, you know, good proper nutrition, well-balanced daily activities, and definitely finding out what works for you. There's not a one size fits all program for any of our patients. And right. I have found with my own child, now young adult, that we've had to kind of rip out pages of the parenting book that we used with the other kids and put in our own pages for Ted, on basically going in a different room, doing something at his comfort level to get him to build those confidence skills or to just be more engaging. So I really like how you put that. Yeah. I like that you have challenged cats or challenged players. That's awesome.
It is ironic how much I can relate the mitochondrial disease world to the pet world and just everything that I do. Everything I learn on one spectrum or the other can help.
Wow. No, I have scoured your website and all the time I'm finding different information and just knowing that you put this all together in your kitchen is just amazing. I would have thought you had a degree in veterinary science or, you know, going way into that scientific world, and you have really been able to make a huge difference, it sounds like, just reading all of the comments and things on your website from people that you've just helped so many people in their pets. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it gives me the inspiration and the motivation to keep fighting the fight, you know, because I know that I get to make a difference every day. And I think that's kind of everybody's grand dream, right? Like with your job you're doing right now, you know, you get to touch a lot of people that are going to be listening to these podcasts. And I'm sure that really fuels you and helps you stay motivated just as a person and through your challenges as a parent of someone with mitochondrial disease. So, you know, I really use it as my fuel and my fire. So many people thank me, and I'm like, honestly, all of you, I am appreciative to you. I thank you because I don't know what I would do otherwise if it hadn't been for technology, thankfully, and allowed me this opportunity to continue to have a purpose. Yes. I sometimes, you know, think back and think what would I have done if I was in a situation it was 20 years ago?
Right.
It was very hard for people that are this disabled to have any type of fulfillment, I think, in some type of job or activity. So
definitely, it was definitely harder for people to be vocationally involved. And like you said, all of us need to be validated every day. You know, so many times I've had employers ask me, do you have all the tools you need to do your job? I do. You know, I can robotically do my job, but to get that feedback and that validation that I've made a difference, I've made a contribution, that is so much more fulfilling than mastering Excel. So I agree with what you said on that.
I often jokingly say I work for the comments and the appraise. And maybe that sounds bad, but no, I don't know. It's just what I do. And, you know, I give a lot of free content, a lot of free information and free help all day, every day.
Yes, you do.
But I just don't mind doing it because it's just part of my mission.
Oh, I love it. Well, I know that you have to conserve energy. So I am going to wrap up our podcast here. And again, it was an absolute joy to speak with you. And I'm excited for your new products to come out. My daughter has 2 golden retrievers. So if you need any nose testers, they have snow nose right now. Let me know, because up here in the cold, those darn guys, they can't get their nose out of everybody's business. So let me know and we'll be happy to help. Well, thanks, April. Have a great day. And we look forward to hearing back on your genetic testing. If you wouldn't mind dropping us an email and letting us know, I would love that.
I will definitely keep you posted, and I will enjoy continuing to listen to the podcast.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. I enjoyed my conversation with April so much and hearing how she developed her product line for her pets using her mito knowledge. I hope you did as well. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. That helps boost us up the charts. This show was brought to you by Zogenics and Ultragenics. Be sure to tune in next week for more things all mito. This is your host, Stephanie.